Welcome to today's audiocast from Aviation International News, the most respected source for business aviation news.
This is AIN Online News Editor Chad Traffett reporting. Yesterday marked the culmination of 5 years of hard work for DayJet President and CEO Ed Iacobucci and his crew when the per-seat on-demand air taxi operator officially opened its doors for business. We sat down with Iacobucci in Tallahassee, Florida after a grand opening ceremony to get his thoughts on what the day meant for him and his fledgling company.
This is a big day for us, a big day in the sense that it's kind of the culmination of a lot of work. It's in terms of what we're doing different today than we were doing yesterday, it's incrementally smaller. There's not because we have been flying without any fanfare, we've been flying customers for several weeks now. But today was important in terms of recognizing the impact of the community. We had a great turnout here at Tallahassee. We had the mayor, the lieutenant governor, and a number of community leaders, as well as customers and members that are anxious to try the aircraft out. And it was a kind of a celebration of the beginning of something that we think is going to be very significant for Tallahassee and, in fact, for all five of the markets that we're going to be opening in.
Now, you mentioned you've been flying customers. How many have you flown, and what do they think about the whole experience on DayJet?
One of the things that we've done is we've, just like, I hate to use the analogy, but it does fit somewhat. When you open a restaurant, you have soft openings and you have, you know, kind of a controlled environment to start with and slowly start bringing customers in and getting feedback and tweaking and tuning. We've been flying customers since early September. The feedback that we have gotten has been very positive. I was curious to see when we started doing it with paying customers whether the customers would continue to say that the aircraft was much roomier than they thought it was, because that's been the feedback we've gotten. And every time somebody looks at the airplane or gets in the airplane or even flies with the airplane, but once you start actually charging for the flights, I thought that we'd probably get a better qualified answer. And thus far, the answers have been identical to what they were before. The aircraft is, the experience is what people expected, which is key. The aircraft is generally quieter than they expected, and it's roomier than they expected. And so that leaves basically the determining factor in our success is going to be our ability to operate reliably. And, of course, that's what we're gearing up to do.
Now, you brought up reliability. How are the airplanes behaving in the fleet? How many hours have you put on them? And what are you working with as far as issues or good points about the airplanes?
Okay, well, again, we no doubt about it, we are the fleet leader in terms of hours. We're on up there. We've had two aircraft already through the 300-hour inspection, so we're doing a lot of, we're experiencing a lot of firsts along the way. I can say without any question whatsoever that that dispatch availability of the aircraft is better than we thought it was going to be at this stage. It started off slow when we started with some of the early aircraft, but as we started loading them and flying them more in production configurations with more frequent flights, in fact, it's not uncommon to have an aircraft fly 10, 12 flights a day. We found that it's been very, very reliable, and we're very happy with it. And generally, when we do have a failure, it's something that can be brought back online. We can have the aircraft back in service within 24 hours, and in many cases, just overnight, which is, of course, our objective. So we're not loading all of the aircraft. We obviously have more aircraft than we're flying in production right now because we're doing training and a number of other marketing activities and so forth. But the ones that are running production are running very well.
I understand you had an incident, your first incident the other day. Can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, it was almost a non-event, in so much that they didn't recognize it when it happened. But when the aircraft returned to Gainesville the other day, one of the aircraft, we had discovered that we had had a bird strike, and not just a bird strike, but a full ingestion into the in the engine, and they discovered it by the remains of the. Of the bird. Obviously it wasn't a huge bird, but it was very interesting that it was not and not even recognizable when it happened. So, and we're obviously, the other thing we did is we took the aircraft offline. We've got process. We did, we boroscoped the engine, and absolutely thumbs up, no damage whatsoever. So I'm comfortable. It's comforting to know that we can take a bird and keep on going, which is speaks well for the reliability of the engines. The engines have been terrific. The Pratt did a magnificent job with these engines. They have a lot of margin in them, and I think we're going to be very pleased with them over time.
Where do you see DayJet in 5 years? The whole Southeast?
Well, that's a question that I get fairly often. The answer is, it sounds like I'm trying to skirt the issue, but I'm not. The specifics of where we're going to be is going to be determined by our customers, because I could tell you that it's going to be all the Southeast, and I can enumerate 120 some odd airports that it could be in, day ports and what have you. But the reality of it is, whether it's the density of the airport coverage is going to be determined by the density of demand, and that's something that we're learning about every day that goes by. I fully expect that we'll be the full Southeast footprint at a minimum. We may be in another region in 5 years. I don't tend to look at 5 years as a valid planning horizon. I look at 2 years. I can tell you in 2 years we'll be in the 7 state Southeast to some level of penetration. How many day ports is going to depend, again, on the density of demand.
How have the communities been accepting, or have they been wooing you? Have they been throwing money, or, you know, Wichita has put an economic fund up for AirTran to provide service there. Have you seen anybody trying that model with DayJet?
Well, our model has not been to seek any economic concessions from the communities. We've had some, obviously. There's some employment grants that are offered to companies and states at the state level and the county level, and we've certainly participated in that to the extent, same extent as anyone else. But we don't impose any specific monetary requirements on a community. We're much more interested in having a community that wants us, A, most importantly, and B, if they do want to do something out of the ordinary, we're steering them towards infrastructure changes and enhancements that would improve the airport's facilities as a whole and get us to a position to be supporting next gen sooner than later, which means, practically speaking, things like surveys that are required before the FAA can develop an LPV, precision WAS approach, into an airport, and they need to have surveys. And that requires the cooperation of the community. So we've been encouraging the communities to do things that make their facilities better. And certainly, if there's anything in particular that we look for them to do is perhaps introduce us to community leadership so we can develop the market. So, but once the introductions are made, what we found is that the enthusiasm levels continue to build, and I've been very pleased with all the markets that we've been in. The communities themselves have taken the leadership in promoting the connectivity that we bring.
And there's been some confusion. I know you've stated who your customer is, but there's always been confusion in this. Who are your model customers?
Well, our customers are not the CEO, the CFO, the COO of companies. Typically, that's not what we're targeting. Now, we do have some in small, medium companies that do fly with us, but our target customer is the middle management tier that otherwise wouldn't have the benefit of on-demand travel, that might be driving professionals, service professionals in particular, attorneys, engineers. We have a big constituency, real estate developers, community developers, architects, environmental engineers, all the types of folks that normally would be spending an awful lot of time driving around a region trying to address, trying to do their jobs, basically, and we can cut the travel time significantly, increase the productivity from an employee standpoint, and increase the amount of increase the quality of life for the travelers themselves.
Thank you for listening to today's audiocast from Aviation International News. For the latest business aviation news, go to www.ainonline.com.